I think that internal voice is I've learned that I have authority over it. I've learned that I can turn that off. I've dealt with a lot of anxiety in my life, and just the ability, the authority that I have, that God has given me to command the enemy to leave. And I really take that seriously, and that's been a huge part of my well-being and my growth. And fear can creep into any business and creep into our heads so easily. And if we don't command it to leave, it'll take us over.
Amen.
All right, so we're here with Neil and Caleb. Tell me about a little bit about yourself, what you do, a little bit about your backstory, and what got you here.
So real estate agent is my profession, and have been doing that for 16 years, so a lot of ups and downs, a lot to talk about there. And then in addition to that, Caleb and I started a show called I Love Madison, where we help people that are new to Madison get connected to people, places, and events that are happening in Madison. And we're doing that through a podcast, blog, and then a video blog or vlog together.
Perfect. I met Neil through real estate, but I recently left real estate, and I'm now starting my own freelance video business. So
perfect.
Videography, photography.
Tell me more about the journey between, and this applies to both of you. So you both met each other through real estate, and you both were in real estate. Tell me about the journey to how you made that creative jump. What was that moment where you kind of said, I mean, you're still doing real estate, right?
Yeah.
So, but you're still also fully invested with the I Love Madison. So tell me more about that jump that you guys took into how you decided this is where I want to be. This is what I think is going to be beneficial moving forward.
Yeah.
For me, it was like I was supplementing my income with real estate, doing media. And the goal was like always to do that full time, but just didn't have enough business to do it. But it became enough where I was like, okay, I can now jump into this full time. And then when you came to me, you had the idea to start the show, and you came to me like I was one of the first people you came to, and you were like, I want to do this show, but I need your help. And I was like, dude, I'm ready to lay it all on the line. Like, I want to make this happen. Like, let's do this. And it kind of just went from there.
Yeah. And for me, it started in 2008, the recession. I was paying for advertising up to that point. I was paying radio station, and I was paying print advertising, and all of that went away in the recession. I couldn't afford to pay anymore. So I had to think of other ways, and YouTube and Facebook landed in my lap. And so then I started producing content and just started believing in being a media company that happens to sell real estate.
I want to dive into that. That to me is really interesting. So I've always thought that the future of advertising isn't on TV, mm-hmm. isn't on radio. I think you're going to start to see people like us creating content for brands, for people on their Twitter account,
yep.
for their Instagram account. So how did that change? How did you see, having started from radio advertising, yep. how have you seen that change? And even you, how have you noticed the production change, even just in your time producing content? Because yep. I know that even just from my experience, how much has changed over the last 2-3 years. Yeah. But like you yeah. started with radio, and how do you see that difference now?
Well, I see it like, I was spending $25,000 a year for radio advertising.
What?
Right? Yeah. And so I looked at that expense and I thought, what if I just created the radio station?
Yes.
Right? And just removed that. And not only do I get all of the time, all of the exposure, but I don't have to pay that big expense. And so that was kind of like the beginning of the aha moment of like, hey, with the way media is today, I don't have to pay the radio station. I can create this own media on my own.
So from a creative side, tell us about I Love Madison. Tell us about what you're showcasing within the city. What has your favorite project been so far?
That's a great question. I think the vlogs have been really fun. So we started this segment called Caleb versus Madison.
Okay.
Where we kind of take on the things that are going on in Madison, and Neil is too chicken to do them, but... he kind of just throws me into it, you know. Like yeah. last week, we had the Mallards team, the baseball team,
okay, yep.
throw fast pitches at me, and I tried to hit one of them.
I did see that.
Yeah,
that was
so
fantastic.
Things
yeah.
like that. That's been really fun, just kind of like being creative with that, but also being a part of it. So it's just all of it's fun. We've done food tournaments. It's really great to like, as I'm new to Madison, so it's really great
yeah.
for me to be able to learn like where is a great place to get good food and try all these places with Neil. And it's fun to create, and it's also fun to like try the new things.
Yeah. And that I can kind of relate to that, because I'm from a city north of Milwaukee, but it's only 10,000 people. So I'm getting out to Milwaukee and working and find all these clients, and I'm like, I don't know anything
yeah.
about Milwaukee
yeah.
at all. Yeah. And you probably have more of a background within the city itself.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up here, so like this is home to me. Been here for almost 40 years, right? Yeah. And I didn't want to drop my age, but we just did that.
It's all right. Yeah. You didn't say 40 what? You so right. we're yeah, good. Yeah, we have a floor.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's I just love the city, and that's a word that I say is I love Madison.
Yeah.
And so to create the show and then to help others fall in love with the city. See, I'm a realtor, so a lot of people I want to help those that are new to Madison. But I've seen those leave that didn't fall in love with Madison, and often it's what we call the trailing spouse. Okay. So it's somebody that moved here with their spouse for their job. They ended up not getting connected. Their spouse, meanwhile, at their job got connected and became a part of the culture and loved the city of Madison. But they were at home. The trailing spouse was at home, isolated and alone. So we really want to cater to the trailing spouse. So not only are we like have this awesome entertainment type show, but we also have this really strong why. And we really want to help this lost crowd of people that really nobody even knows about. I'll talk about the trailing spouse, and I hear it all the time. They're like, "What's a trailing spouse?" And then I explain it, and they're like, "Oh shit, I am one."
I love that
aha moment. Yeah, yeah. And so documenting, you know, helping those people it's really powerful.
What's your favorite unknown gem of Madison?
Oh,
where should we go right after we're done recording this show?
Well, I don't know if it's an unknown gem, but my favorite, absolute favorite place to hang out is the Wisconsin Union. And I just think like, it's just such a chill atmosphere. The lakes there, there's usually live entertainment going on at all times. There's just people having fun. There's never any drama. It's just a really relaxed spot.
And food and beer. And
yeah.
Is it just kind of like general just sort terrace. Of
yeah you
area?
Buy beer okay. and brats and food and just it's like a lot, docks, whole lot of Wisconsin there right?
Yeah,
and then it's just got the beautiful lake and the sun sets right there, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, you do, since you have Madison on, you know, a bit of lake on both sides, you can have both the sunrise and the sunset. Yeah. So that is really, really, I think, a fun point. How did real estate in this creative side, so like I really like how you mentioned the trailing spouse and how you're able to use your real estate experience to show them these hidden gems without necessarily being a real estate agent.
Right, right.
And creatively, you can to show them mm-hmm. on the same token without taking them to these places directly and you know, putting on your suit and having the clipboard and taking them through a site and here's the three bedroom loft sort of thing. So how did that develop creatively in terms of how you have the idea, you have the thoughts, so how did that develop for a more of a business side? How did you say, you know, how did you get your first few clients or sponsors or hub or, you know, monetization wise?
For us, it's like, you know, you could spend money on advertising and have this direct reaction, this direct, you know, if I run radio advertising, you know, call me for this, right? With I Love Madison, it's documenting content and we're investing in providing value, but it has the same reaction, right? Like if we're providing great value for somebody that's new to Madison and we're helping them and we're providing checklists of how they should start their new life in Madison and we're providing books for them and we're doing all this extra things to help them get connected, they're gonna call on us when they're ready to buy a house, right? And so there's this great end game for us where if I invest $25,000 a year on I Love Madison, it's the same as doing the radio advertising, but with this we're creating value, like we're giving people real value. And then for Caleb, it works great too. I mean, he's showcasing his ability to create content and document content. And so he has a great end game as well with helping people with their media.
Mm-hmm. And tell me more about the media. So what do you get to play with? What do you get to dive into with the media side of things?
So it's pretty basic right now. Like I'm in the process of getting new equipment and that's evolving. And I only have one camera. I'm really limited by that. So that's evolving and changing. But it's kind of given me an opportunity to like think outside the box of think about outside of the, this is a corporate interview or even like a wedding, like everything has its kind of like standard, this is how it should be done. And then Madison kind of just busts that. It's like, we're going to go hit baseballs, like, you know, things like that. Or we're going to go do food tournaments and eat food. And it's just really fun to be able to create that kind of video where it's like, there's no rules. We're just doing, having fun, doing our thing. and it's just really fun. So,
and yeah. I like that a lot because I always think of like food shows. They're so, like, on Food Network, they're so basic on the surface.
Right, yeah.
They provide the value. You can eat a burger a million times, and it has, you know, all the meats well done, the cheese, the whatever. But, you know, you're able to take I Love Madison and throw different spins on. You're able to take it to the Mallards, and I believe I saw a hockey video where you guys were also doing. I was a hockey fan, so I saw a thumbnail. I'm like, I'm clicking on that. I love the attitude behind it because it's not just a – we're going to go and we're going to meet this client and we're going to do this video. You know, you're doing, I'm trying not to ask a certain question yet, but I'm getting that vibe from you guys already, and I like it because it is very against the grain and it's very different in attitude. And I think that's something that really takes media as a whole and evolves it.
Yeah.
So you guys are creating this within Madison, and a year from now, everybody's going to think of the Mallard scene. Everybody's going to think of stuff like that and how different it is and how it's not just the Food Network approach, if you will, of I'm going to eat this burger and I can tell you how it tastes, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. And I think, too, what's really exciting is it's all started off with just a podcast. Yeah. I literally was just going to record an audio podcast. I reached out to Caleb to say, hey, can you help me do videos to promo the podcast?
Okay.
And then we thought, well, maybe we should do a vlog, but we don't know really what should it be about. It was like 15 weeks in, we decided to do the vlog.
Yeah.
And then the food tournament was just this crazy idea that, like, I don't know if this thing's going to work. It ended up being a big thing, right?
The big thing, yeah.
So, like, and now, like, our next thing is like, we're really excited about, like, Madison is known as the fittest city in Madison. That's why the CrossFit Games are here. And there is so much, the city gets voted all the time for being so fit. Well, I want to partake in that, but I'm a little chunky, right? What do we call chubby? Making chubby kids cool again, hip again. So, but like, I want to partake in that, but with this weight, I can't. So I'm gonna go on a weight loss journey, and we're gonna document that, put that into I Love Madison, so that we can go play in Madison, because there's trails, there's hills, there's lakes, there's so much terrain here to go have fun on. And I'm limited on what I can do. So we're going to morph that into the show, which, again, so it's exciting. Just like you can just keep pivoting. You can keep making these little adjustments that make the show, give it another set of context and improve the show.
Well, and like with the fitness thing, like we can showcase, it's the same thing. We're showcasing the trails, the lakes, and like we wouldn't necessarily have a way to show that unless we did this. And now people would be like, maybe we get a whole other audience with this. Like, you have the food audience, and now you have the fitness audience. Who are like, oh, wow, man, never would have thought of ever going to Madison, but they have wicked bike trails. I'm gonna check it out.
You know? And it's not, you're not focusing on one niche,
right?
And that's so powerful, because now you're starting to see, you know, when Vine stopped, you saw influencers on Vine have to readjust,
and now you
have, you know, people on YouTube now or Instagram now, and you know, you could take this conversation in that direction, but your niche is not within a certain clientele.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's powerful. So I'll dive into some quick questions. What do you love most about Madison living here? So I live in a city of 10,000, has a beautiful lighthouse and lake and a church on top of the hill, and I take it for granted every day. What is that thing that you take for granted being in Madison?
For me, as beautiful as this city is and as so many hot spots, to me, what's the best about Madison is the people. Like, there is just this roll up our sleeves, get to work, but yet we have fun together. Like the concerts on the square that take place right here, 30,000 people get together every Wednesday night in the middle of summer, spread across this yard, and everybody's just chilling, drinking wine, and then it is dead silence when the music's playing. Like, there's just so much respect for the arts, and so it's just this really rich, like, small town feel in a bigger type city, but not too big, but it's just this really rich vibe. It's so hard to explain to anybody. I'll try to explain it to somebody, and then about a year later, they'll run into me and be like, I know exactly what you were talking about.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For me, I'm still kind of learning. I've only been here just 2 years, so there's still a lot that I think I need to do. Like, there's so many restaurants I still haven't been to. There's so many, I'm like, I just need to get out more.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, I like the people. I'm still meeting people, but I think for me, it's just the beauty. Like, there's the lakes and summertime in Madison is the best. Like, it's just there's so much to do. There's so many things happening. Live music, concerts on the square, the Union Terrace. There's a lot going on. I need to get out more and like take part in it.
There's so many festivals in Madison during the summer that they are now doing them during the week.
Yeah, there's a festival every
they just
day.
Stack them on top of each other.
That's
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah.
What all happens? What all goes around?
So on the east side of Madison alone, there's 5 different neighborhood festivals, which will bring 20 to 50,000 people to. And then there's on the square, there's Art Fair on the square, Taste of Madison, concerts on the square. There's just like, it seems like every weekend. And then you've got Bratfest, which is a huge thing to kick off. Then you got stuff at the university, like Crazy Legs. It's just never
there's
ending.
Bike races and regular races.
Yeah,
and
you got CrossFit games. Champion CrossFit games. I mean, like, they picked Madison. Like, it's crazy.
So awesome.
And they just renewed, too. They're going to be here for another additional 2 more years. So they're going to be here for 5 years total. I mean, it's just a world-class event right here in Madison. And then you got Ironman. You got 2 different Ironman events. You've got the half Ironman and the full Ironman every year here in Madison. And, so it's a special place.
It's awesome. Yeah. Tapping into what you've learned about Madison, what part of I Love Madison has been the most difficult to make happen?
Grow our YouTube channel.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what it is. Facebook, we're just doing great. On Instagram, we're doing great. YouTube, we're just like...
We have like 40 subscribers.
Yeah, just don't know what
it
is.
We get like 8 views per video.
So if you're watching this, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Link in bio.
Yeah, absolutely. What about... production-wise, what about the business side has been difficult?
From my creative side, I've just been frustrated with the lack of equipment, and I think that's all about to change. I'm like this close to getting more cameras and more mics and all that stuff, but at least for that, like, I wish that I had had this many cameras for the baseball thing. We just have one, and he's holding it, and if he sneezes, it's over, you know?
Right.
So I've just been frustrated with that. But I think that'll change and that'll evolve. We'll get better. You know, a year from now, we'll look back with it.
Remember that day?
Remember those days? Yeah. No, I don't remember. I blocked it out. Yeah. But you guys know that. Like, you don't start where you're at. You just keep going. So for me, that's been the hardest. What about, like...
Well, I think from a financial point, I mean, I'm losing money every month on it. You know, and that's hard to swallow. But I don't look at it as a... I shouldn't say I'm losing money. I should say I'm investing money every month, because I know that what we're building is fantastic. And we don't want to flood it with... We've got a great sponsor right now in Metcalf's Market. They've just been super. We love documenting for them and around what they provide. They're local. They support so many local businesses. They just really fit with our brand so well. So we've been blessed to have them. But... You know, I'd love to have more sponsors. I'd love to create more revenue so that we're not, spending money that it was more of a break even. But that's just all part of growing it.
It comes. We're still so new.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised that the podcast didn't do better. Like, the podcast has only been, it's getting a couple hundred to two to 400 an episode download, where our videos are getting, 5 to 15.
The food tournament, like 10-15,000 views.
Yeah. So that, like, some of that, it's like, well, if we didn't have the video stuff, I don't even know if the show would keep going, because the podcast isn't growing as fast as I thought it would.
Do you see I Love Madison's video content becoming more of a viral thing? So, like, the baseball is obviously a very hot hit topic.
Right,
I know that I, from experience, have had videos where I've SEO'd friendly made tutorials that I put on YouTube, and one has 10,000 views. And I have one that I took way more time on, put way more effort in, SEO'd to high heaven, thumbnailed it, really everything. Still today, 18 views. 18 views.
That's how it is, man.
And that kills, and it hurts, because you can put so much effort into something, and you know every ounce of you says this should succeed.
Yeah.
This should succeed, but it just falls short. What's something that has fallen short, like the podcast, outside of I Love Madison? Where is that pivotal moment where you were at the edge and you either took that leap off or you didn't?
Yeah. To me, it's just rest of the podcast. But, I mean, we were talking today, like, we just did this Mallards vlog, and we thought it would be a 5 or 10,000 view vlog. And it's
better, yeah.
And it's sitting at 1,800, which is still great. But, yeah. You know, it's still 1,800 eyeballs on what we're doing. So that's awesome. But, yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is when I originally launched the whole thing, I went out and I wanted to find contributors. So I wanted to find foodies, and I wanted to find, you know, people that were into different things throughout the city and have them create content for the podcast, like music, or create content for the blog, like music was another one. And I had all these people that were willing to do it, and they were all excited about it. And then when I said, ready, set, go, two of them wrote an article. You know, and it was like, I just couldn't get that going. And I said, well, that's just not the direction we're going to go now. So I feel like more of the blog writing has to come from me, and which is, that's just maybe the way it was meant to be. And then I just need to find, I'm not the best writer. So I'm good at casting a vision, but I'm not good at actually writing it out. So just hiring the right people to write. And so, again, another growing pain, another figuring it out, making it better, pivoting when we have to pivot, and we just find our way.
And for you, what was that moment at which you took the dive to fully committing to I Love Madison and not maybe finding something a little bit more safe?
I think it was just the, like, his vision casting was like, all right, this is like, he was just like, this is what we're gonna do, and this is where I think it's gonna go. And it was like the first step into, like, I think I can make this like a career. And so doing that and getting my feet a little bit wet, like, okay, I have some money coming in, some steady money, like, you're losing money, but I'm like, I'm yeah. able to keep doing yeah. it, sorry. Yeah. But like, I'm able to like make it more of a priority and being like, okay, he's paying me and I want to make this a thing. And now it's become more of like, now I'm co-hosting and it's like, this is really fun. And I'm like, if I could do this with Neil, I can do this, you know, and like he said, in my end game is to showcase my video. So I've had people call me and be like, hey, do you do any freelance work? Because they've seen right. the vlog and stuff. I'm like, yes. So just kind of, it's been a lot of that, like, just kind of word of mouth, like, do you do this? And I'm like, absolutely. Even though I'm underqualified, I have to borrow equipment or rent equipment, things like that, I just make it happen. And then, like, as I grow and build, I'm like, okay, I can make this my full-time thing.
I remember when we did a video for, it was with a really good foodie, hip foodie mom. She's got 100,000 followers on Instagram. She's just solid.
Solid.
And we did a video with showcasing a chef here in Madison. And, you know, like, we were going to go to he's an actual farmer and raises his own hogs. And then was going to go back to the kitchen. And I'm like, Caleb, you think you can do this? Like, full production? And Caleb's like, I have no idea. And he just dove in and did fantastic job.
Did my best with what I had. We borrowed cameras, we borrowed lav mics, we just like made it happen.
Yep.
And editing was a little shaky. We didn't even know. There were moments where, like, I'm filming on this angle and he's filming on this angle. And I'm like, what were we thinking? You're in the shot. Here's this big dude right behind the chef. Like, what are we thinking? But like, you know, you just cut it out and make it happen.
Trying to make it work.
And next time, I do so many things different, but it's just part of the growing.
You know? What did you learn from that experience that propels you now today?
For one, don't stand across from each other.
In a different kitchen, too. That kitchen was hard.
That kitchen was hard. Right. Yeah, there was a lot of, like, little things. So, like, audio, it was all over the place. I would, you know, work on that better. I would do lighting better. Like, we had different cameras, so I didn't know color correcting. I didn't know lighting and all that stuff at the time. So just a lot of little things that maybe people wouldn't notice. But like, as a creator, I'm like, cringe.
Yeah.
I know how that used to look. And then, you know, just the shooting, like how the angles and where we were. And yeah, the location was tough. But where are we going
to
go?
Well, I talked to somebody afterwards that has done a lot of food cooking shows. And she told me the steps. There's actual steps. Like, you have three different cameras, you have one doing this, you have one doing that, and then you have one on the ingredients, you have one on the pan, you set it all up. And I'm like, oh, we were just
I was gonna say, yeah,
can I get a shot of that? Yeah,
I think too, we were so on the fly, like, there were things we missed because we only had, I would have three or four cameras.
Yeah.
We had just two, and that wasn't enough. I wish we had So just you learn.
Yeah, I mean, we have probably 3 or 4 different audio things happening right now.
Right.
Just, you never know what can happen, what you're going to like, what you're not going to like.
What can go wrong. Something can go wrong.
My laptop could die, this could die, the camera, anything can happen. Yeah. So it's good to have backup. So is this what you guys both do full time?
Yeah.
This is what you're fully invested in. So what has been the biggest growing pain, for instance, with you financially? How has that affected you outside of this?
Yeah, so when I stepped, I tried to do everything at once, right? I stepped down from the CEO role to launch my I Love Madison and to launch my sales career again. Starting my sales career, I had 16 years of experience. So I thought it was just going to be a flip of the switch and I would start selling houses again. It didn't happen. And so that was a struggle. This winter, last winter was pretty testing. And then getting through that, at the same time, I'm investing money in I Love Madison and trying to grow I Love Madison. So it was like nothing was balancing, but I just knew. I mean, I went there was just a few months ago, man. It was just like, you know, I teared up in my office. Like, he walked in, he's like, "You all right, dude?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Like, I just don't know. Like, this, nothing is happening. And then my wife and I were trying to adopt in that same time. So it was like, it just felt like everything was collapsing. But you just, that's when you grow in your faith, man. It's just like, I'm just gonna get through this, and I'm gonna, and things are just gonna work. And we just keep plugging along, and we made it. We're making it. We're doing
it
better right now.
We always say we started from the bottom.
That's right.
We really did.
Yeah.
Yep. And what have you learned in your first dive full into entrepreneurship?
So my first year of real estate, I had no money. Like, my wife and I had like $100 to our name, like savings, checkings. I was working like several jobs. I just didn't know real estate was one of those things that like it takes a long time to build, like any business, but especially when you're new to a city and you're really young. I just had like, not to play the victim, but I had a lot of things against me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was supplementing income with media. I was working at a, you know, like a convenience store. I'm like doing all these things, and so I can only go up from there. Like, we had nothing, so we can only get better. But with media, like, it's a passion. It's something I really like. It's something I'd love to learn about, and people can see that. And so they're like, "Oh, like, will you do this video for me?" Even though I'm super underqualified, I just make it happen. And now it's turning into like, okay, I actually do know what I'm doing. And like, I can charge what I want to charge, and people will pay it, and I'm like, I'm growing. So now my wife and I are way more comfortable. I'm gonna be able to buy more equipment, and it's that journey. But like, I think both of us at pretty similar times are both like, what are we doing? Like, this is so hard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be ups and downs. Like, it's not gonna just be overnight success, but yeah, it's constant. Like, we got this. We're going for it.
How have you both handled that internal voice?
See, I'm getting, with me being older, I'm twice his age, right? So it's been interesting because I kind of feel like I'm 20 again.
Yeah.
Like I'm starting over, and which is exciting. And then he'll say something or do something, and I'll be like, "No, I'm 40. Definitely, I'm 40." I think that internal voice is I've learned that I have authority over it. I've learned that I can turn that off. I've dealt with a lot of anxiety in my life, and just the ability, the authority that I have, that God has given me to command the enemy to leave. And I really take that seriously, and that's been a huge part of my well-being and my growth. And fear can creep into any business and creep into our heads so easily. And if we don't command it to leave, it'll take us over.
What about both of you goes against the grain? What makes you have that misfit mentality?
You want to go first?
Sure. I have tried to challenge the status quo my entire career.
Yes.
So as a realtor, there's this very traditional way of selling real estate, of chasing business, of going cold calling and door knocking and going out. And I've always wanted to attract business instead of chase business. And so with that, in attracting business, I've focused on being vulnerable and being real and being really who I am, because people can't relate to your perfection. And so the more real I am and the more vulnerable I am, the more they relate to me. And then the more they relate to me, the more they want to use me as their realtor. So with that, I've challenged the status quo a lot because, you know, I'm here sitting here in shorts. There's most realtors out there that would have a suit and tie on at all times. I just posted a story today on LinkedIn where, you know, I mean, I just talked about my anxiety problem. I talked about my weakness. I talked about some of my failures. I've been open. You go to my About Me page and it talks about my failure in the recession. You know, I've just been really real, and that really makes a lot of people cringe. And so challenging the status quo, where it's a very status quo type business, has been fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's a little bit different where like I just can't do the 9-to-5 job. It's similar with the suit and stuff. I hate suit tie. I hate that like 9-to-5, like working for somebody else. I can't stand that. I want to work for me. I want to have my own. It's super selfish, but I want to have my own, like my own schedule, my own job, my own what I love to do. And it's just been kind of that journey. Like I want to do media. How do I get there? Well, you got to challenge the status quo. I can't work a 9-to-5 job and do what I want to do. I don't know if that's a good answer.
I'll word this question two different ways to appease to both of you individually. But what did you learn from your first big production? You can use the chef, the food one, that is helping you. So the way I normally would word is, what did you learn in your first 10%, your first like couple hundred views, couple hundred followers, couple hundred subscribers that was harder or easier to learn that helped you for your next 90%?
I just think like about where I was at, like editing wise and like technical knowledge wise, like I didn't know anything, but I jumped into it and was like, okay, I'm gonna figure this out as I go. And you grow through that and you realize, okay, you look at all the mistakes you made and you realize, okay, I can do that differently. Like we're talking about the internet's super great for learning things. Just like YouTube and Google, so many things, like how to do this in editing or how to do this shot or what's the best camera to get or tripod. Those kinds of things just like have helped me. And then I did a weekly vlog for a long time on my YouTube, and for I don't know how long did I do that for?
A year.
I basically did it for a year.
Yeah.
And it didn't grow to as much as I thought it would. But at this point, I don't care about the numbers anymore. I just wanted to post weekly, and sometimes I even posted daily. And looking back on those vlogs, like every week, it helped kind of hone in my craft. Like getting like the first video I did took me like 2 hours to edit. By the end, you know, I was just like banging them out in like 30, 40 minutes because yeah. I have it dialed in. I know what I'm doing. I know how to cut. I know the software really well. So just that kind of like that, working on the craft, just doing it as I go. I don't have any degree. I just kind of everything I do is just self-taught. And I'm so basic compared to other people. Like, so I'm just gonna keep growing. I'm just gonna keep getting there.
That's fantastic. And for you, your first house that you sold.
Oh, yeah.
What did you learn from that first sale?
Oh my!
You still utilize today.
Oh gosh, that first sale was just a mess.
Just tell me about it.
I mean, just thinking about, well, one of them is that, you know, it wasn't my first one, but one of my first ones, the buyer asked me how important an inspection was. And I said, it's pretty important, you know? And he's like, I don't think I'm gonna do one. Today, I would never, ever, ever, ever let a buyer buy a house without doing an inspection. I don't care how much money you have or what the case is, you always wanna do an inspection. So like just that, and then I also didn't know, I just didn't know how to really represent somebody, right? Really take care of somebody. You know, I mean, I had gone through the training, I was licensed, I had staff behind me, but to where I'm at today and the things that I can advise my client of getting through, you know, I mean, it's like I feel like I could land a crashing plane right now,
yeah.
Right? Like where before that plane would have just crashed.
He's landed my crashing planes.
Yeah.
When I was in real estate. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just learn so much and can use it. Yeah. Yeah.
Which big name celebrity would you like to consult and why?
Ooh, I would love Gary Vee for sure, but I'm really admiring Will Smith right now.
Okay.
You know, and I'll leave your favorite, but I really admire Will Smith. I think he made such an awesome pivot right now to resonate with the YouTube crowd, and when he could just drift away and keep producing movies and just kind of be, I think the guy is just brilliant, and I really admire him. Yeah.
And your favorite?
Casey Neistat.
Yeah! Yay. There it is.
I just, it's unhealthy, but he knows it's unhealthy, but he's what got me vlogging, basically.
Yeah.
Like just, I mean, he's inspired so many, but him, yeah, obviously Gary Vaynerchuk, Will Smith is just kind of like rocketing into this like amazing position.
Yeah.
There's so many on YouTube, but for sure Casey Neistat, yeah.
And which celebrity do you look at and wonder why they don't do something? So like, for example, for me, I can watch a YouTube video from big, big, big channels, and I'm, from a creative side, picking it apart piece by piece.
Yep.
And that could be for any field. Who's the one big name that you watch or you see their content or their whatever it is that they do for a living and say, but what if you did this?
Yeah. Do you have anything? I have to think about that for a second.
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Because we always see these people as such a high pedestal, and we always look up to these people.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, Casey Neistat makes great content, but other people make great content too.
Right.
And what do you think Casey could learn from maybe Peter McKinnon or MKBHD?
Right, yeah.
Or what could, you know, people on Million Dollar Listing learn from you or somebody else, you know, that you see them maybe having fault in?
I think with like Peter McKinnon and
MKBHD.
Marquez Brownlee. And like Casey, like they all have their own, like you would never see, I would never expect to see a super high quality production like Marquez does on Casey's channel. So I feel like each person is almost owned up to their like imperfections per se.
Yeah.
Whereas like Peter McKinnon and Marquez are like so high quality, and I'm just blown away by how like high tech Marquez is.
I
can't think of anything.
My current
change.
Number one favorite YouTube channel.
Yeah,
hands down.
Did you see that last one?
Oh my gosh, the RGB phone.
Yeah, yeah, the gaming phone and stuff. Just how he had that like turn. I'm
everything.
Like, oh, it's so
everything.
Amazing.
so
like, I don't know like how you can make that any better.
Right.
I'm sure you can, but I don't know how. Whereas Casey, like, I don't think he focuses too much on the production side. It's more of the storytelling and just the like keeping you engaged. I've always wondered why Casey doesn't do a little bit more higher quality. Like,
I agree. Admittedly, I agree.
You know, he threw his Canon 1DX Mark II on the Ronin S gimbal when he first got it, and it was shaky. And I'm like, did you even take time to like to?
Yeah.
So I mean, and it's just, you know, I think each person kind of does their own thing. Like Peter McKinnon would never do that.
No.
But I also don't think Peter McKinnon is as interesting as Casey Neistat is.
True.
I just think Casey's like a little bit more interesting. Peter's cool, but I don't know. I think there are things that I wonder why they don't do, but at the same time, it's just like who they are, kind of owned up to it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy.
That is exactly the answer that I would give to you.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
So.
Cool.
How do you see them taking their imperfections and building on them, and how do you take your imperfections and just break them, just entirely smash right through them?
Yeah. For me, I just got to break through fear, because fear holds me down so much. And so just continuing to know who I am, my faith plays a huge part in all of that, and just leaning into my faith and knowing that I'm a child of God and that I'm loved and that I can break through that. So, because a lot of it, you can go, you can get to your head, you know, and it can slow you down. And so, you know, when you don't get a lot of views or when you don't get a lot of sponsors and things get hard, you kind of can doubt what you're doing. And you, for me, you just got to keep going.
For me, it's a comparison game.
Okay.
I get so caught up. And I don't even want to. I've not posted too many videos on my YouTube channel for a while because I'm like, I don't have the best equipment, and I know so many YouTubers are like, yeah, but you can do it with just, but it's like, but you need a certain, you do need a certain degree, and I'm still below that. So it's comparison. I just had a friend move to New York. He's already met Casey Neistat. He's already been in the vlog. He's already like, he's got better equipment than I do. He's just like, and it just becomes like this, I just want to die because like, I'm never going to be as good as them. I'm never going to, you know what I mean? Like it's this comparison giant. I'm like, they're up here. I'm down here. Why even try? So it's just kind of breaking through that and then like working extra hard so I can get that base level equipment where I'm like, okay, now like I have no excuse. I just need to create. I just need to do this. So yeah, it's kind of like that's my biggest thing is breaking through that.
And is it not times like this where production-wise, you can work on things now that they are currently not?
Totally.
Because they are content with where they are and happy with where they are. And the same thing with I Love Madison. It's not on TV. It's not on E! News. It's not on this. But you're still taking it and learning from these things while you see everybody else content and happy with where they are and not trying new things. And you get to go and stand in front of baseballs. And you guys get to go out and record and showcase all this amazing stuff that those people wouldn't even consider because they don't have to.
Right. Yeah, they're comfortable. That's what I'm afraid of is complacency.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't ever want to, like, even if we're getting 10,000 views per vlog and 50,000 per... And we have all the sponsors we need and we're fine financially. Like, I'm still... I hope that at that place I'd be able to be like, what could we do different? Next? What different angle? How can we incorporate the new drones or technology that's out? You know, it's always staying ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's my biggest fear.
What inspires you most right now?
Oh.
Casey Neistat.
Outside of
I know,
Casey
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think what inspires me most is really like what we can do as videographers.
Yeah.
Like I just love trying to be creative. I love storytelling. I love trying to document the flavor and the culture of where we're at. And I'm really like inspired to try to get better at that. Like every time I watch one of our vlogs, I'm like, okay, that's good, but how could we have done it better,
right?
And I'm just inspired to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, like, can't wait for the next event, can't wait for the next story to tell.
Yep.
And and I'm a realtor too, so I'm always, you know.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But that is like, an ever evolving.
Really, I'm not too inspired in the real estate world, you know, like it's starting to, like, I'm settled in there, right? Where I'm just really excited about creative.
And you've noticed that, and you've taken it, and you've created yourself something that keeps you inspired.
Right.
That's inspiring in and of alone itself.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's like, I want to push the limits. So, like, all right, we hit a baseball with a minor league team. What if we hit a baseball with a major league team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what if we did something with the Packers? Or what if, so it's like, I get inspired by, like, okay, we did that. What door can be opened?
But
now?
I think if we go to the Brewers, we've just got to get you to race as a sausage, right?
Yeah, that's your new thing. It's like, get me to be a sausage.
Get him
boy.
A sausage and be a. Or can, do they have volunteer racers for that sausage?
I don't
race?
Even know.
I think it's that. It's like, what doors can we open? It's like, what back door can open the next front door?
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, because you never, like, what connections
right.
can we make? And then obviously, I keep mentioning the equipment, but when I get more stuff, like, we'll be able to do so many more things. I'm just really like slow-mo and low light and just all those things that like I've been dying for so long.
It's fantastic.
So I thought we were 7 degrees away from a sausage. We're one.
One.
We're one.
Only 1 degree away from being a
Is it 6
sausage.
Degrees or 7 degrees?
Is it 6 or 7?
I know it was 6 degrees.
I thought it was 7. I think it's 7.
Maybe even with a younger crowd.
At 6. Well, I'm only two away from Casey.
Internet thing came out. It's 6.
It's not
maybe.
6. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe there's new analytics.
Yeah.
On that same token, what would you tell a version of him at your age?
Ooh.
Oh.
Give it to me.
Yeah. Patience.
Hey. I haven't heard
is.
That before.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's
I say
good,
it every day.
Though. Yeah.
Like, just chill, dude. Like, just wait for it. Yeah,
which is hard when you have, you know, when you're investing in trying to support yourself, because it's not a, you know, it's hard to have patience when you need, you know, at some point with family, it is a need.
Yeah, it's a need, yeah.
And I feel like I'm that old man, like, patience much.
Young grasshopper.
It patience. Helps that we're all cross-legged.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We can do that.
I know. If I had a dollar for a time, you'd tell me to be patient.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, no business... What, like, no business has ever there is no such thing as overnight success.
Right.
And, you know, I've heard Gary Vaynerchuk say, like, there's no such thing. And then someone was like, well, what about, like, the Kardashians? And he was like, well, the Kim and Chloe and all the kids, they had already, their parents had already built up a big business. So they just walked in on that. Yeah. So, but no business, like their parents had to go through that process. There's nothing short. So it's remembering that, like, I just gotta be patient. I just gotta make it happen. I gotta be patient. I gotta wait. Because, you know, we're like, what, 5 months in, 6 months in? And I'm like, why don't we have 1 million subscribers? It's like, bro, like, chill. Give it 5 years, and if we still are where we're at then, like, then we'll reconsider. Yeah. But, just patience. It's good.
Oh, man, my heart is for my kids. And I think too, you know, I just want to leave a huge legacy for my kids. And then I want them to go on and leave a legacy. And I think too, like, there's just so many people in this world that are hurting, and you know, depression, anxiety, there's just a lot of people hurting, and I really hope that I can inspire people. I hope that I can make a difference in the world. I end every one of my videos with "Be the reason somebody smiles today," because I really want that to ripple. I really would love more to hear more people, less people struggle with anxiety and less struggle with depression and less fear riddles so many people, and I would love to put an end to that.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think for me, I just have the, like, I do want to make a difference somehow, even if it's in a small community of people. I want to have some sort of, like, yes, Caleb did, he did great things. I want to do great things. And also just, like, there's so many people, like, lost and, like, yeah, like you said, like, just broken and hurting. And, like, there is a God who loves you. And, like, you know, like, just, like, there is a higher power that loves and cares about you. And just turning into that, like, is awesome.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it alone. But I think, yeah, ultimately, like, I want to leave a legacy for my kids, and just, like, really, I want to make an impact. I don't know how, but I do. I want to make an impact.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really inspiring. Where can people find you guys?
ILoveMadisonShow.com. I Love Madison Show on Facebook. I Love Madison Show on Instagram.
Don't even tell them the Facebook and Instagram. Just tell them our YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
I Love Madison Show on YouTube.
Redirect all the traffic to YouTube.
Yeah, we'll take all comments on YouTube.
On YouTube, yes. If you want to get a hold of us, YouTube.
And individually as well.
Yeah, LinkedIn. Neil Mathwick on LinkedIn.
Yeah, Caleb Jahr on LinkedIn, J-A-H-R. And, yeah, I'm on Instagram, YouTube. I have my own personal YouTube as well. And I want to keep creating on that, but it's kind of taking a step back. I'm like, what do I want to do? What do I want to focus on?
Yeah.
Personal brand wise. But yeah, and then you can find jarmedia.com.
All
right. J-A-H-R. I have a website. So.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
having
you guys so very
Thank
much.
You, brother.
We appreciate what you guys do for media, for the world, for inspiration. I think, everything. I think this will be the reason a lot of people smile today.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important. So thank you guys so much. I'll see you next time.
It's fun.